All right, we are back, just like Texas, offensively offensive. We are back in studio. I am Sean B, along with Nate Schuster and Tom, spelled with a T-H-O-M, Turner. We're back to talk some Ohio State hoops. So we'll start with Nate. Mr. Walk-On, how are you?
Can't complain, man. Living the dream. I feel like everyone's
What's going on since the last time we talked?
Got a dog. Jordan Love actually might be him. Yeah, it's been pretty good. Bucks got Dame.
How's your dog? What kind of dog do you get?
Golden Cocker. So for the audience, imagine a 3/5 size golden. Stays the same way the entire life. So you get like a 6-month-old golden retriever for 12 years. It's awesome.
Why haven't more people done that?
Well, the issue with the breed itself, one, it's expensive, which is weird to think in a mutt breed. And they're rare, too, because you have to have a purebred cocker and a purebred golden retriever. And I don't know if you guys know what a cocker spaniel looks like versus a golden retriever, but it's kind of like a chihuahua and a bull mastiff.
We'll go ahead and scrub that thought from my mind and move on to Tom, because yep. I don't really know if I want to picture that process. Tom, what's up, dude?
NSFW.
Not doing great right now. I got snowed in, so I couldn't go to the Houston game. So that was very sad. And we did end up winning, which I guess was fine at the end, but would have liked to be there.
Are you in Ames?
I am now, but in my hometown, I live 2 hours away, and I was unable to come. This is a cute dog.
Yeah, he decided. I heard his name.
That's a good dog. So, Tom, you were not in Ames, therefore that kept you from the Houston game. Why are you a fake fan, and why does it hurt you so badly not to support your own team? It's your own college, for God's sakes. You only have 4 years.
I called Mother Nature, and she had a flush, and nothing I could do about it.
Okay.
That's a tough spot.
For those of us not located in central Iowa, remind me of how many inches you got, and let's calm down here when I'm asking about how many inches.
Above it. I think we got 9 in Ames, and we're supposed to get more today, which is not good.
So you would say that some might say that's too much.
Everybody would say that.
Nate would say 2 to 3 is plenty.
I would say that's, you're right there, 9 inches. You're 4 to 5 times national average right there, man. Come on now.
Yeah, agreed.
Agreed.
All right. So speaking of Houston, all right, so we've been gone for a while. We glossed over the non-conference, okay, right? It was a forgettable non-conference, to say the least. Some would say it was the worst non-conference that we've had in a very, very long time.
Ever, right?
So it was not something worth talking about for the most part. A couple of losses to some high major schools like A&M or Virginia Tech, both of whom remains to be seen if they're actually any good. Jury's out on them. Iowa is a giant bag of what's your dog's name? Lambo, right? It's a giant bag of Lambo.
It's a giant bag of NIT.
There you go. That's perfect. God, that's a huge bag of flaming bag of NIT that Iowa is. And then other than that, we did nothing but play against Roast Beef Tech, Sister Mary's School for the Blind, and then the deaf school from the AT&T commercial that we saw 7 times during the national championship game. So besides that, we don't have a ton to talk about. It was a poorly designed non-conference schedule, mostly by reason, right? It sure seems that way. Iowa State was able to game the net all the way up to the point where after this Houston win, which we'll talk about in a second, we're all the way up to 10. So it seems like Otz and Pollard were in cahoots here about setting up something to at least give us a break the rest of the year when we get to the grind of the Big 12. I don't know if y'all feel the same about how the non-conference played out, but let's talk about that for just a second.
Yeah, so the one thing I will say about the non-conference is this was determined years in advance. So where you might think, you know, we're just scheduling games next year, I would tell you that, you know, we're going to Maui next year. I'm pretty sure that's been locked in for about 4 years now. And then whatever the next Phil Knight Invitational is, that's been locked in since I was a sophomore. So I knew about the PK80 before all you guys knew about the PK80. Sadly, this stuff has been out there for a while. I mean, we haven't played Florida A&M since I lost to them. So this was the second half of that bye game. So same with Eastern Illinois too. So this, sadly, this is the culmination of a lot of bad games over a long period of time. So it's just the second half of Eastern Illinois. And you played Green Bay this year, right?
Not yeah, Milwaukee. First game of the season.
Yeah, I think Green Bay, they're playing them again in like 28. But it's this stuff is, yeah, it's been a long time coming. It just reared its ugly head this November.
Yeah, I think you can see the schedule and just go both ways with it. Positive side is the young guys get super confident because they're beating up scrubs by 30. And I think you saw that in the first game against Green Bay when Milan went, what was it, 5 for 6, 6 for 7 from three. And he was very confident in the Houston game too. Negative point is you're going to get smacked on the road by Oklahoma, even though it was a close game most of the way. Just physically, we weren't there, and the offense was not there at all. And that was a complete different output on offense between the Houston game and Oklahoma game. And I think a little bit of that can go because the atmosphere in Oklahoma was very good. And I was kind of surprised by that because they're really not known for that. So I think the non-conference did not help first game of the season at Oklahoma.
I will add one piece, Sean, sorry to cut you off here, but Green Bay did win their 10th game of the season yesterday, which is something to note. And then on top of that, if we got to deal with a team in Lipsy 1-for-10 game, and that's how we're going to lose our conference game, I'm okay with that because he's not going to do 1-for-10 every game. So,
Green Bay all the way up to 243 on KenPom. So we're getting up there.
After a 2-win season.
They did open with – who else did they play? No one. Okay, poor Green Bay had to go to Iowa State, and then they have played no one of note. Oh, they played Oklahoma, which they lost 81-47, so tight one there. That's about it. So, okay, do you agree or do you lean one way or another on this terrible non-conference schedule? Because personally – like, I don't think we need to be like Kansas where Bill Self is like, I want to be in the basketball comparison of like a Saw movie where you're just like going through those like traps the entire time where he's like, we want to play at UNC. Also, we want to play the Maui. And also, we want to play UConn at home, which I believe is part of the Big East thing anyways. But like, you understand what I'm saying. Like, we don't need to be that team because we're not that talented. But we do need to be somewhere in the middle where it's like, all right, let's test ourselves. Let's take one P6 team at home. Let's go on the road to one P6. Let's play the Big East Challenge, whatever that ends up being. And let's play one tournament in which you don't have really a say in how good those teams are. So I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. Like, this year is an abomination.
Yeah, I'd fall upwards towards the Kansas line for us, but not all the way. Like, no, I don't think we should be scheduling UConn at home or going to UNC or anything crazy like that. Do I think we should be a little bit competitive and maybe schedule like, you know, a Missouri Valley team here and there or something like that? Yeah. Do I think that really helps in the long run? No. I know we're going to get to the Houston game in a little bit. I think Houston kind of, resolves all sins kind of, but I don't think that's a situation we want to put ourselves into every year.
I kind of like what we did a couple years ago. We did before the COVID year and after the COVID year, we did a home and home with Oregon State. That was just kind of Oregon State was good, like a little bit good at the time during the COVID year, they went to the Elite Eight. But like, I just wish we would have had like this year, a home and home with like Washington State. They're very good defensively. And plus you get the team that gets used to travel because in March Madness, you're on the move. You're not at home and you're not at one place for a long period of time. I would like that. And then just kind of luck of the draw too. We got stuck with DePaul for the Big East, Big 12 matchup. That kind of stinks. And you look past the couple years. Yeah, Missouri was good last year, but before that we wrecked them at home. And like Missouri, we played them in the Big 12 all those years ago. Like, we got stuck with them. I just think it's like a little bit of bad luck, but then also a little bit like, yeah, we could pick it up a little bit.
Do you – okay, so the Big 12 SEC thing and then the Big 12 Big East thing, we don't really have a say in, right, because that's just picked by the conferences. That's out of our control. I think the frustrating thing is that, first and foremost, the net is so goofy. Like, I tweeted about this week. You can use it to just shape your argument no matter how you look at it. You can be like, Iowa State's 10th. We just beat Houston, like, yeah, we're the 10th best team according to the net. But also, if you're someone that's an Iowa State hater, right? You could be like,
Jeff Goodman.
Yeah, sure. You beat Houston. You haven't beat anyone else. You're 10th in the net. That's ridiculous, right? But, like, we know this group knows pounding on terrible teams through most of non-conference analytically bumps your numbers up, okay? But the counter argument to that is you're not playing in the tournament in January. So in my mind, it doesn't matter as much. You almost give yourself a little bit of a head start. But it doesn't – like, it's – in the Big 12, you still give yourself plenty of chances to work your way back up to where you need to be, in my mind. So I don't know if there's a right answer here.
Well, I think what you're describing right now for us, what we're living this season, is the opposite of what Mark Few does every year. Because they always schedule some crazy ass non-conference slate of, you know, we're gonna play Purdue at Keedy or whatever it is, and then they go play Seattle University on February 8th. Like, it's the same both ways. Like, I think ultimately you want to be in the middle of playing. You want to play a decent to good team every night. And
so I'll interrupt you because I think it's a hard one. Okay, so Gonzaga is 43rd currently in net. But then when you look at their schedule, they played Purdue neutral site, Syracuse neutral site, UCLA neutral site, USC neutral site, at Washington, Connecticut at semi-home, which I'm assuming means they played in like Portland or something.
Oh, they played. Yeah, they played at the old Sonics Arena.
Okay, so in Seattle. So,
yeah, Nate, you make the perfect point. They still play Kentucky in like a week. They scheduled Kentucky in January because they just know how bad their conference is. So it's just like one of those things, like they're not going to get any quad one wins except for St. Mary's in conference play. So they just have to ramp it up in the non-con.
But for a team, my whole point is for a team in the Big 12, do you think it matters? Like, do you think that this is the path going forward and that we shrug and say, all right, let's just beat up on Roast Beef Tech for the rest of eternity because the Big 12 is going to offer us so many quad one opportunities?
Well, if you're the Iowa State staff, I think it really comes down to, what do you want your program to look like? Do you want your program to be consistently in the 7-10 seeds in March, or do you want them to be in the 6-3? Because the way Iowa State is right now, we're probably going to fall into that 6-3 seed in March more often than not if we play it an above average non-conference slate. If we don't, we're going to fall into 7-10. And I'd much rather be in the first category than the second.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You would love to be a top seed in the tournament. And it also comes down to players, which is tough to do when you already have the schedule made out for the years going forward. So when you have a young group, you really don't know if you're going to get some teams that aren't exactly at the top of other people's schedules. So it kind of goes both ways. Like, I don't, like Sean said, I don't think there really is a right answer. It kind of just depends on your team and your program.
Agreed. So now that we've not solved any of the world's problems in terms of net and analytics, let's move on to Houston. So Iowa State beats Houston, the number one team in the country, according to KenPom, number two team in the country, according to the AP poll, the last undefeated team in the country, according to math. So Iowa State wins 57-53, obviously fueled by Milan, Mommy, Momchilovich's Dirk fadeaway in the corner, which we were potentially trying to take shots at a certain member of the coaching staff prior to understanding that was a busted play to begin with. But we'll get to that. So, Nate, start with you. Thoughts on the win against Houston?
I'm a big proponent of Styles make fights. So if you look back at this game, we were the number 5 ranked KenPom defense going into the game. We played against the number 1 KenPom defense going in. The issue that Houston has in our matchup sake is they're really low on the pace. So you got to think you're going against a number 5 ranked defense in the country, and you're going to slow the ball down, which essentially gives you less possessions in the game. Not exactly a good place where Houston wants to be. This is not me trying to take anything away from Iowa State. We held the number 1 team in KenPom, which is the real ranking that matters, because I don't believe in writers doing voting on this stuff myself. But if you're looking from an analytics standpoint, you're beating the best team in the country. Dude, this is a huge win for Iowa State. Great. And it really, what we just talked about, it negates our bad non-conference. A win against this team bumps you up probably a seed line in March.
I think it really showed Iowa State understanding how deep the conference is. It doesn't matter you're facing the number two team in the nation at your place. If you start 0-2 and behind the eight ball in the Big 12, it's going to take a while to ramp back up, even if you have Oklahoma State coming in Saturday. It was huge, and as one of the number one supporters of Hassan Ward, watching him play for only 14 minutes and just pretty much, I'm just going to say, controlling the game when he was in. He was amazing. And for how raw and just athletic the Houston forwards are, he kept up with them all the way. He did have four fouls, but he was 4-for-4 from the field, 9 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. He was great. He was great. The only bad thing he did was he stepped on the line because he wanted to dunk another free throw attempt. Like, that was the worst thing he did all game. I'm a big Hassan Ward guy, had to get that out of my system. It really showed, because I don't think anybody is saying this last year. Like, the improvement he's made, we heard rumors about him being one of the most improved in the offseason, and it was true. It was just true.
What do you think was the key to Iowa State winning this game? So when you look at the numbers, I don't think anything particularly sticks out. One thing that I will point out before I kind of turn this over to you guys is you look at the free throw differential, right, from an attempts perspective. Houston was 8 of 12, and then Iowa State was 18 of 22. You saw Kelvin Sampson in the post-game presser, which, again, was, like, super whiny by him. I think he answered 4 questions and left. Didn't credit his own team, didn't credit Iowa State. Kind of just felt like he didn't want to be there, and then he left, which I guess I get, but also it's the Big 12, buddy. Like, what do you think? You're going to walk into Memphis and walk out again unscathed? Like, this is a different deal. So I don't know what you thought you signed up for. But he was kind of complaining about the level of physicality. But I would also challenge him. So Iowa State only took 15 threes. Houston took 26. So, like, if you want to talk about settling, if you want to talk about where your shots are coming from, go ahead and look at the shot chart and tell me which team you thought was more aggressive. Because if you're going to take a look at the foul differential, I'm going to take a look at your shot selection, pal, because y'all weren't getting to the paint like Iowa State was. Iowa State's not a team that likes to shoot threes. Houston is a team that historically, and especially this year, has been in the upper echelon of teams in terms of three-point attempts, right? When you have guys like LJ Cryer, like, sure, that's what you should be doing. So, like, that's not a knock on their style. But if you're going to complain about physicality and the fouls perspective, like, you got to figure out what you're going to be doing on the offensive side of the ball to be drawing fouls in the first place. Because it sure seemed like Iowa State was the more physical team for 40 minutes. Regardless of the foul differential in the first place, they looked more physical. They were unbothered by Houston's physicality for the most part. And Houston at times looked a little bit like unsure of themselves. Like, okay, this is a little bit new.
Yeah. I would have to say, man, I agree with both your points there. Looking at if you're Kelvin Sampson and you're really mad about the officiating, you're not shooting as many shots in the paint that Iowa State is, what are you really complaining about? Because if you're complaining to us about how your team performed, that's really on you at the end of the day as a coach, okay? The second thing, in terms of how the team played, dude, we're tough. Team played with an axe to grind pretty much and really did everything we wanted to. The other thing I would say is what really caused this game to sway one way or the other. I think I said this earlier in the week was LJ Cryer versus Taman Lipsey. Taman won that battle. I think LJ Cryer did he miss every shot he took in the first half? I think he was 0 points going in halftime. Yeah, that's what won the game right there. He's their best player. I mean, Shedd's great and all, but I think he was like 1-for-7 at 1.2. Like, we won this game because Gilbert and Lipsey took what was theirs.
I really want to see how big of a smile TJ had when he was looking at the box score and saw that it had to be Houston's third best guard making shots to keep them in the game. Cryer was 1-for-6 from three, and Shedd had 14 points on 14 shots. And what really stood out to me is you could tell, especially with the shooting in the Oklahoma game, Lipsey was tired. He was guarding one of their best players, and he had to run our offense on the road, and he was struggling. And I was very worried coming into this game because he had to ramp it up to guard Shedd, who is one of my favorite guards in all the Big 12. And he held them to that 14 points on 14 shots while hitting a three, which he has just been phenomenal at since last year, and then also just running the offense. And like Nate mentioned, Gilbert and Lipsy did a phenomenal job on those two guards and forced Houston's third best guard to make shots. Now he did. He went 5 for 10 from three. But when your third best guard shooting 10 threes, Iowa State's going to take that all day.
And I would also argue that part of Iowa State's design on defense is you can't do everything well, right? Like the way Iowa State's defense is set up, we're going to trap in the short corner. We're going to push people baseline, that kind of thing. Something's got to give at some point, and they're comfortable saying, all right, we're going to probably give up a few more scramble threes than another team might because we play so aggressively. So, like, if you look at the numbers on KenPom especially, so in terms of field goal defense from three, so three-point attempts for field goal attempts, we are 355th on defense, meaning we're 355th best team in the country at depending three-point attempts. In terms of point distribution from threes, we are fourth worst, meaning teams score 40% of their total points from behind the three-point line. So, like, and Nate and Tom, we talked about this last year a little bit, right? Like, the design of the offense kind of dictates that we're going to defend the paint. We're going to try and trap. We're going to try and turn teams over. But from behind the arc, we're just kind of shrug and say, okay, if you're going to be that patient with us, you're going to move the ball, then you're going to make us better.
Yeah, I think part of that too is, I mean, what's the hardest shot in basketball? It's a three pointer. It's the furthest away. So if you, what do we give up? We're going to make sure that everything that you touch the ball with on the court is going to be a tough shot. So if you're any point inside the 3-point line, we don't give up a lot of mid range shots. We don't give up a lot of paint given our size. Honestly, I think our goal is, hey, let's make you run offense. You're going to think you're going to try to get a good look, and then we're going to contest your three and hope that we can get a rebound out of it. Am I off with that, guys, or what do you guys think?
No, you're spot on with it. And I think to go in depth more, you have to look at a team who's going to, especially with this year's team and coaching with defense, they have to have three-point shooters that can be consistent and not get in their own head. And they also have to have a good coach that can run sets to get guys open that aren't just three-pointers. And what comes to mind is this game on Saturday. I think Boykin's a fine coach, but they do not have shooters. And so I'm really interested to see, like, even if they hit a couple shots at the beginning, it's going to be perfectly fine because it's Oklahoma State and Bryce Thompson is not a viable shooter. They're just not confident. And their guys. So that's where I think our defense will really shine in the Big 12 is when you're coming across a team that isn't built for your defense and you're going to flourish.
Well, I mean, I think we look at Iowa State historically, I think under Odds has done really well against teams that are a little bit more athletic and like to quote unquote pace and space. Like think about Baylor. That Scott Drew is, Odds has turned our guys into a nightmare for Scott Drew. Right, like they don't want to see us. We swept them last year, which is unheard of in the Big 12. Like you don't just sweep teams. Even Kansas has trouble with that at times. So I'm curious if you all have seen anything. And Tom, it sounds like you're talking about Oklahoma State, so I'll turn this back to you. If you think that that is a deciding factor for our game on Saturday, or if you think that the matchup bodes itself well to Oklahoma State.
I think
ESPN, BPI. Oh, sorry, Tom, you go first.
No. Oh, okay. So I do think this year there is another guy, Javon Small. He's on Oklahoma State now, and he starts, and he's shooting 41% from three. That's scary. He's a new guy that our system and TJ haven't seen before play in the Big 12. And then you have Bryce Thompson, who isn't a good shooter, who I mentioned, but he can facilitate, and he's a good point guard. But with that said, they don't have Avery Anderson anymore. They don't have the bigs. They don't have the Boone twins or Cisse down low to get offensive rebounds that kick out to open threes. So this is a much different team. Oklahoma State has beat Iowa State the past two times in Hilton. And a good little stat, last year Iowa State was 4-7 after games, which they beat a ranked team. And two of those wins were against Baylor. So not counting the Baylor games, they're 2-7 off a ranked win. That's not ideal.
That's a great stat.
Had to dig for that one.
Props.
Yeah, if I had anything to add to what Tom just said, the one piece I would say, Iowa State, according to ESPN BPI, 95% favored. I tend to like the BPI, which is weird because I usually don't like the ESPN stats, but I like that one. So we should win this game 19, 18, 19 out of 20 times. The only matchup that really scares me, Tom, I don't know if you mentioned this, was the Brandon Garrison. 6'11 freshman. He's averaging about 6 and 6 right now. Looks to be their five man. That's where I would worry with us because, I mean, Ward and Jones aren't that tall. But that's just my thoughts.
What do you think we learn from the Houston game? Like, do you think that there's one thing that you look at this game and you just go, oh, yeah, I didn't know that?
There's not a team we don't match up with.
Yes, exactly that. And I think it's because of the depth. We have Watson that you can bring off the bench to play with lengthier guys and a bigger team. And then you also have Pav if you need another guard to help with. And that goes with Curtis Jones as well. And then you have the platoon down low with Robert Jones and Hassan Ward. And I can just go throughout the roster, the guys that play minutes. Like, we're not even playing Omaha right now. And we have matchups for every team right now in the Big 12, and that not matchups that we're going to win easily, but that give us a favor, especially in our system.
It's interesting, right? So we talked about the non-conference schedule. We kind of limped against Virginia Tech and A&M. I think that we played fine against the two of them, but kind of suffered down the stretch. It almost felt like we were tired. I don't know if that was actually the case or not, but kind of the way the game went, right? You just saw us kind of lose steam towards the end. Oklahoma, I did feel like we played okay. I think that they beat us fair and square. I don't think there's a ton to debate there. They were the better team that night, so I don't think that's worth a ton of discussion. I think it's interesting to watch us play against Houston and think about how it does compare against the rest of the Big 12, like the both of you were saying. So when we talk about Kansas, you talk about a team that's currently ranked in KenPom. What are they? They're 19th, okay? So we just talked about how they have slid, starting the year ranked second in KenPom, and they're now 19th after their loss to UCF from last night. This is a team that, Nate, you yourself have said has struggled, especially on the guard side, to put the ball in the basket. They don't have their weapons that they normally do. Obviously, DeJuan Harris is scrambling on the defensive side of the ball. Same with Kevin McCullough. But have struggled to put the ball in the basket. You look at Houston, right? We just beat them. From a matchup perspective, that's like just taking two rocks and banging them together. It's the same team. It's the Spider-Man meme. You're looking at each other the entire way. TCU, I believe, should be undefeated based on kind of the Allen Fieldhouse shenanigans that happened from last week. You've got Kansas State. Who knows what's going on with them these days? Baylor's the same team they've always been. Texas has been kind of falling and slipping the last couple of days. BYU has got a rude awakening to the Big 12 because they, I believe, they've lost their first two after starting the season, 11-1 or 12-1, something like that. Losses at home to Cincinnati and on the road to Baylor. So from a Big 12 hierarchy perspective, you know what, Tom, you put out a fantastic tiered rankings this week. Why don't you kind of speak to that?
It just goes with, you have to just add in a lot of things. Now my tier list was more of a joke, but also a little serious on the matter. But I do think I think I had one that was just like interesting teams, and that's like Cincinnati and Texas. I'm bought into this Texas team. I think their guards are good. Say what you want about Tyrese Hunter. Dylan Mitchell's made a huge jump this year. They have the shot blocking, but their bench and coach worry me. And then Cincinnati, they have good players. Their post is, I'm blanking on his name, but he is great offensively and defensively, but they're new to the conference. They're not facing Tulane and SMU. They're going at BYU, which they won, but then they're also have to go to Allen Fieldhouse, or they're going to have to go and play Texas Tech on a Wednesday night when they're not ready. And I think it just speaks for how deep this league is that you have to be on your toes every single night.
Go ahead, Nate.
Oh, no, I had nothing. I was just going to add on what Tom said. Keep going, Sean.
I'm going to take a right turn here. Okay, so from a Big 12 perspective, curious if y'all could name who KenPom has as their all Big 12 right now. It's five guys between the two. Of you. You should be able to get him.
Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah, that's one.
That's the easy one. Is Kaluma on there?
Nope.
Okay. Max Amos. Is that how you say his last name? Amos?
Acemus.
Oh, Acemus. Jamal Shedd.
Yeah, that's one.
Taman Lipsey.
That's three.
All right, so we need forwards. We need forwards.
You need a forward and a guard.
Jalen Bridges from Baylor. No. Wow, okay.
Both guys have been mentioned already.
LJ Cryer.
Yep. And
Milan.
No. I'll just Kevin McCullough. So you've got McCullough, Dickinson, Shedd, Lipsey, and Cryer. Those are your five so far. So
I will have a bone to pick with Ken Pomeroy if Kevin McCullough makes first team All Big 12. That guy has been dog shit this year. I'm not salty about Kansas not covering 6 points against Kentucky at all.
Tough. What about UCF? Did you have him there too?
I also had Kansas last night, yes.
Worn out. That's a spotted cow out the door for Nate Schuster, our Wisconsin guy. Are you still in Wisconsin?
No. West Des Moines.
Repping. Let's go. Welcome to 5-5.
Hell yeah.
All right. So I think we've kind of talked about Houston enough. The one thing I do want to say is we could break it down, going down the stretch if you want. I think that final play originally, especially in our chat, got a little bit of hate because we were criticizing how everything looked. And then to come to find out in the post game, Milan and Lipsey both said, all right, we originally had a play designed. It broke down immediately because Houston was denying Lipsey. And then it turned into, all right, Gilbert to Trey King or one of the combination of the two to Milan in the corner for that turnaround, which I know for a fact, based on chatting with the two of you, both virtually and in person for the better part of a year and a half now, that we're not the biggest fans of Iowa State's offensive play calls and ATOs. So that kind of fueled the fire a little bit in our group chat. So I don't know if y'all saw something I didn't, but kind of wanted to just open it up for thoughts.
No, I mean, I was a little overly critical in the group chat. I'm not going to repeat what I said in that group chat, but there were some NSFW words in there. Hey, whatever wins the game, I don't care. At the end of the day, there's a W at the end. I don't care if you win by 20, if you win by 10 or 1.
I was in the same boat. I was kind of questioning it. And then I rewatched a couple moments today from the game. The first set we ran on offense was a set for Milan from three. And then I was like, oh, that kind of makes a lot of sense for the end of the shot. You know, I think the staff really trusts him. And I think so do his teammates. And that kind of points out why Lipsey, when that play was gone right away, they went to Milan and his fadeaway jumper. That is amazing. So much fun to watch.
So he probably has, and when you say it out loud, it makes more sense, right? He probably has the most unguardable offensive, like, not like move, but he can score the ball the easiest out of anyone in the toughest situation is what I would say, right? So obviously there's a late double, he pivots away and hits a fadeaway. No one else has that, right? Like Lipsey doesn't have that. Gilbert doesn't have that. Obviously none of our bigs have that. So I think when things break down, you can kind of see where Lipsey's eyes are going or Gilbert's eyes. Okay, I picked up my dribble. I have nowhere to go. Like, where's Milan? Type of thing, which is fine. Originally, I believe in the press conference, they said that they were trying to set a ghost screen for Lipsey to get to the rack, which probably fine in the moment. I think it's hard sometimes when you watch guys like Bill Self draw up these mastermind ATOs, especially in late game situations. Where you just look and you go, even if they missed the shot, you go, damn, like that was nice. Like that guy was wide open and they just missed it. And you go, well, can't do anything better than that. Like the chop play that they've been running for 20 years. Like you could recognize that play before it's even starting based on what they've been running. And it works pretty much every single time. I think Iowa State's next evolution, especially on the coaching staff side, is turning those situations where they feel confident enough that, like, we like our guys and we like our scheme and our set design better than whatever Houston or whatever team is going to throw at us. We're absolutely not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will add to the Bill Self comment was when I was running scout team, he used to run some crazy sets, man. Like, I couldn't even process them sometimes. And I think I have a relatively high basketball IQ. He used to run stuff, and then the ends to the means, almost. Is that the term?
Means to an end?
Yeah, means to an end. The end was always nuts, but the means never made sense to me, and that's why I'm not a coach. But he can run a set. They run this one right now for Dickinson to get a lob into the post. Holy cow, is it nuts? But I think from a fan's perspective, we need to appreciate him. Not that we want to root for cancer or anything, but it's kind of like, this is a great day for this podcast to happen. Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. We're going to miss him when he's gone.
And I want to say, like, Sean, you're pointing out that final play, they kind of wanted to get Lipsy downhill. And I really hope that they were hoping that they were going to help and Lipsy was going to pass it, because I don't really like Lipsy going downhill against their bigs. And Rob is on that kind of alley-oop side block, because he's just not going to out-rebound the Houston bigs there. So I personally was perfectly fine with the Milan jumper. That's our go-to. I will take that any day. And to be honest, I'm going to take a Milan jumper over Taman or Gilbert going downhill, because his release is so high. There's not a lot of people there. Like, McCollar is a great defender. He might be the only guy that can really contest that is affecting Milan's jumper, because it's just so high. And I wish we did more offensive sets of him flashing to the high post, because he's not the most physical guy. He's a freshman and he's pretty skinny. So him dribbling in the Big 12, he's going to get bullied. So more flashes and more jump shots without dribbling, I think, would go a long way for this offense.
No, excellent point. And that was what I was going to say next. The less Milan dribbles, the better for his game, right? Like, you want to put him in situations where you've got one or two dribbles max, and then you're putting it up or you're getting rid of it. Like, you saw him against Houston's guards and how physical they were, and he had a lot of problems. I think he only ended up actually with one turnover, which I was surprised at. But every time he had to put the ball on the floor against somebody, he kind of looked like a deer on ice, which is – Houston, I don't know, they're not necessarily an outlier, but they are going to lead the Big 12 in defense for most of the year, right? That's just, it's going to happen. Yeah, they already do, right? Like, it's not, they're the best team in the country basically on defense. So it's not like we're criticizing his game. That's going to come with time, and especially as he adjusts to the speed. But I think also, if you look at the Oklahoma game and the end of game stuff that we ran, most of it was for Milan, right? Like, when we needed a bucket, especially as things started to slip, they were targeting him as opposed to going for Lipsy or Gilbert or Trey King or whoever it was.
And one more thing to point out with that is Milan's fadeaway for the win was his first shot in the second half. So that guy who has so much responsibility and, like, trust from the coaching staff to not just be chucking up shots against a really good defense that's going to force you into bad shots, I think that goes a long way into telling you how good and smart of a basketball player he is.
Thing to add on to that, Tom, and this is, we're getting really in the weeds here. Why did he only take one shot in the second half? Because Houston doesn't want him to shoot.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Big brain Nate Schuster. Did you play divisional basketball by chance?
I watched a lot of it.
From really close, though.
Yeah, really close. And
you're on the wood, right? You're on the wood watching.
I looked at that guy who wore Michael Jordan jerseys to pick up.
You're like the fake Klay Thompson guy. You're like, that looks like Klay. And you're like, oh, no.
Just walked in the arena. I just got away with it for 3 years.
You're like Mark Titus without the writing ability.
Yeah. Or the Barstool contract.
Yeah, well, true. This is better, though. How can you – can we time out for a second? How can you not love the double fanatic wide right contract that you do have going on right now? I mean,
this is a great two-way deal right now.
This guy has to put in the most minimal amount of effort and gets twice the clout every time he logs in. Who else wants more than that? what else do we have on Oklahoma State? Tom, I'll turn it over to you.
It's just, I think you got to point out one obvious thing. There's going to be another storm of names, and it's coming later tonight. It's going to be all day Friday, and might just not have a lot of fans show up again, or just have the fans super drunk. And it worked out. We're 1-0 in snow drunk games. So I'll take that any day of the week.
And you're going to be there this time.
I have to work that game. So I will be there, but not cheering, being neutral and working the Jumbotron.
So if I can make a call to action. Oh, sorry, Tom. Or Sean. Sorry.
You have the juicy wiggle button. I think you're going where I was.
I won't have the juicy wiggle button for that game. No.
Never mind. Go ahead, Nate.
It's Oklahoma State. We don't need it. Come on.
If tickets are $3 to get in, like they were for the Houston game on Tuesday, I'm going to buy up a whole section and just start giving them away and driving a bus up there. We're going to get rowdy. I don't think it's going to take a whole section of drunken idiots for us to beat Oklahoma State. I think we'll just do that on our own. But
I think.
Do you not think this is a classic letdown game, though? Especially coming off of a ranked win, Tom, like you were talking about?
Yeah. These next two games, a home against Oklahoma State and at BYU, it's hard enough to say if we win both of these, but hypothetically speaking, if we win both these games, that shows how. Like, serious, we should think about this team because at BYU is no joke. They have the most attendance like a team could possibly have in the Big 12. They have the biggest arena, 16,000.
And I believe they play altitude as well.
Yeah.
Most sober attendance. It's a difference. It's like
also true. Didn't think about that.
What's your Schuster? You sound like you got something on your mind. What's your pregame drink of choice?
Pregame drink. Game or before I watch a game?
Before you watch a game, sicko.
7-7. I'm cheap.
That is pretty terrible. Tom, what about you?
Big High Noon guy. That, however, is not cheap. So it's not fun.
Coors Light for Cyclone football.
Not even Bush, huh? God, you really are kind of straddling the fence between Fanatic and White Raid, aren't you?
Yeah, just right in the middle.
Right down the middle. All right. Okay. So I think that we've kind of covered Oklahoma State a little bit. What else do we have to kind of speak through? So we talked about Houston. We talked about the net and the KenPom and analytics. Now we think Iowa State's game, the system, previewed Oklahoma State a little bit. What else do you think that we've learned about this team? We have a full non-conference that we've kind of glossed over based on the quality of opponent. Do we want to talk about the Iowa game at all? Oh, I went back to Hilton for the first time in 6 years.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. So when's the last? So Nate, when's the last time you've been?
Grambling State this year.
Okay, this year, and then Tom, I'm assuming you've been this year at some point. Okay, so This was my first time back since I graduated. I graduated in May of 18. I moved down to Texas. So I've seen us play. I've been to Kansas City to see Big 12 Tournament Championship. I go to TCU for the TCU game every year. That's a court that's a lot easier on the eyes when you're there in person than not on TV. It's a lot brighter on TV for whatever reason. I didn't feel like a lot had changed, right? Like, I think that didn't we have plans to widen the concourse? I don't think we haven't done that yet. I don't think, right?
I think that was supposed to happen during COVID and never happened because it was supposed to happen. The renovations plus the locker room were supposed to be done by my senior year. And clearly I am in the working world now and they're not done. The locker room's done, but the concourse is up. So same deal.
Yeah. So that was the one thing. I think I went back thinking that was the case. And I first step in, I'm like, nah, this hasn't happened. The new video board looks good. Like, I don't want to get past it. New video board looks good.
They're getting a new one too.
I think it's the same video board.
It's the same one. It is. Now they did mix it up a little bit. Like, they use them differently to try to get more action out of it. But that's a tough look.
So. Okay. Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. Oh, it's gonna stay. We don't know how to edit. The AAC just got a brand new Jumbotron, right? So Stars Mavs, they just got a brand new video board. And I knew that Iowa State was supposed to get one at some point, and so I mixed up the two. I'm just saying that's where my head's at. Okay. I've also had a couple whiskey drinks tonight. Who knows? So what's that?
Allegedly, I have two.
Allegedly, Nate has two. 7-7. Who knows? Tom's had a couple Heinens. Who knows? The only thing that I really noticed when I was back is obviously the lighting is different, but that's been that way for a while. So, like, I was in the first row of the upper deck, and it was like dark. but it's not different than any other arena that you go to in any basketball arena in the country's like that, with the darker lights up top, right? Go to any NBA arena, it's the same thing. The one thing that I am disappointed in, I really do hate that they moved the students back. Like, that's the one noticeable thing that looks different. The sound is the same. It's still the same hill. I went back for the Iowa game, just for the record, which was a very fun game to be back for the first time in a while. Like, the crowd sounded the same. Obviously, the video board. Okay, some people would say that I said that it was different. Allegedly, we don't know that. I didn't think much had changed, and I think that that's a good thing. I think that it gets a lot of hate online because of how it looks on TV, which I think is fair. But it's not like I didn't miss the pre-lighting changes online, like when I was in school, which I'm a little bit older than you guys, but Nate, we overlapped a little bit, where it was bright across the entire lower level and the lighting looked the same. Like, I know people have nostalgia for that, but also we were good. Like, we were good. So, like, people have nostalgia for much smaller things when we were better, like in sports. Like, think about your favorite teams and how you have nostalgia for, like, the differences in their uniforms and stuff like that. But, like, is it that big a deal? Like, not really. So, I don't know. Like, the two of you haven't had these massive breaks like I have, but it felt the same in all, like, the best ways.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing too, the only thing I'll add to that is the students moving back with the bleachers versus the rollout seats with what they had. That does make a huge difference, man. Like, we probably lost about a row of student section. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing that disappoints me. It also kind of hurts because when you have recruits on visit, and I've sat in the spot that is where the first row should have been. You get that extra spot to the floor. You got people blocking your view the whole time, security guards. If you're the guy on the visit, I don't know if that really gets you that extra bump over the top of like, hey, this environment's crazy. We were right on the court. You weren't looking at Shirley from security's cranium the whole game like I was for the Iowa State game.
Wait a second. Are you saying that the changes to Hilton are to blame for every time we miss out on a high-level recruit? That's what I'm hearing.
Since they've moved back, yes.
Okay, all right. So just to make sure you're on record.
Just confirming that the CSC people are ruining our recruiting classes.
Perfect. Tom, so can you please speak to that? Because you're on staff at Hilton.
Yes, and with that and just being a fan, a couple things for what Sean talked about. One, I was at a game, I think it was 2022 when I just started, and we were just walking through the arena, and all of a sudden the lights went back what they used to. And then all of a sudden they shut back down. And that's been in my head since it happened. I don't remember what it was. I'm just trying to like draw back to that. I think it was like Texas in 2022. It was when Tyrese was still on our team, obviously. But like the lights went to 100% like it was George Yang 2015 team. And I was having Vietnam flashbacks. And all of a sudden they went back down. I'm like, they're up there somewhere. They are. Just so you guys know that. And then another point, Sean, when you were a student there, and you got in early for the section, you had to wait like 2 hours till the game started. Did they ever play just sporting events or anything on the Jumbotron at all?
No, they didn't.
See, I was a fan for the Iowa game. They let us in 3 hours before the game started, and they put the in-season tournament. Tyrese went off against the Bucks, and they put it on the Jumbotron. It was so much fun, and I know – I won't say who, but there's a lot of people that like fans showing emotion towards that. Like when you hear cheers, you're like, let's go. Like something like glad we could do something instead of like a let's go State during the like halftime of the game or whatever. When you're seeing like people like paying attention to the Jumbotron, you see Tyrese hit a three over Giannis and you see like clapping and you hear people excited about it. It's really cool to see. So I'll just point that out too.
Yeah. Back in life. We had to camp for games, Tom, back when I was in school. So I don't, 3 hours early. Yeah. Whatever.
So. I camped out a little bit. It was super nice. Global warming. Shout out.
All right. I think we should probably wrap this up. We're at the 50-minute mark. Any parting thoughts before we hit the road?
No. Win these two games, you're in a great spot to be first round bye in the Big 12 tournament.
Huge.
I would say you could even argue our next 2-4 games, we're in a good spot. Oklahoma State, at home, at BYU, at TCU, and then K-State at home. And then you start to get into the gauntlet. So I think you win three of those, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
All right. Well, awesome to be back. Appreciate the two of you as always. We'll get our guy Nate Schlossberger in here at some point next week or the week after. But we're so back. Excited to be back talking about the Hoop Squad. And we'll chat with y'all later. Thanks for having us.
Drive safe to the game.